This is their Lemonade. This is their visual album. I'm sick of them calling it a movie. There's no plot. The
Yeah.
only thing is that they got to get to a show and their friend is pregnant. That's it. And
And
they throw some kids in there.
there's the subplot of it being a movie in a movie.
Yeah, that too.
There were so many subplots. I'm like, where are we? And then at the end, I was like, so were we in the movie the whole time that they were pitching? Like, I was so confused.
This week, we are talking about the classic 1997 comedy Spice World.
Welcome to the No More Late Fees podcast. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Danielle, and we're just two best friends and ex-Blockbuster employees rewatching some of the best and worst movies from the late 90s and early 2000s. This week, we are talking about the classic 1997 comedy Spice World with our guests, Timmy and Andrew. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
If you want to get to know Andrew and Timmy just a little bit better, make sure you pause and check out their trailer. But before we dive in, let's get into some
Housekeeping.
housekeeping. If you love the podcast and you want to support us, here's a few ways you can.
Did you know writing a review and/or rating us helps us get more listeners? If you want to be featured and help us grow, head to your favorite podcasting platform and leave us a review, please.
And while you're there, make sure you hit the subscribe button so that you can get alerts when our new episodes are live.
And if you want more content, head on over to Patreon and become a Patreon bestie. You'll get behind the scenes, bonus clips, exclusive content, playlists. So patreon.com/nomorelatefees.
Yeah, some of the things that hit the cutting room floor are quite hilarious.
They
So,
really are.
definitely worth checking out. But let's get into the movie. So, we are doing Spice World, as I said. So, hang on to your knickers, pump up your platforms, and fasten your seatbelts because the Spice Girls take center stage in their feature film debut, Spice World, a roller coaster ride which will spice up your life and open your eyes very wide. The movie stars Victoria Adams, Emma Bunton, Mel Chisholm, Jerry Halliwell, Mel Brown, Richard E. Grant, Alan Cumming, George Wendt, Claire Rushbrook, Mark McKinney, and Roger Moore. The movie was directed by Bob Spears and written by Kim Fuller. Unfortunately, it's not streaming anywhere, and you can watch it on DVD
Interesting.
or the streets may be calling for you to get it
High
another way.
seas.
But before we get started, let's jump into our ratings rewind.
So you know the drill. Before we get into the movie, we'll reveal the rating our Y2K versions of ourselves would give. Then at the end, we'll see if our current selves agree with our initial rating. Our scale consists of would buy it again.
Sorry. The best would play on repeat.
5-day rental.
Would watch again.
2-day rental.
Nothing to write home about.
And same day rental.
Garbage or
Rubbish.
rubbish. Yeah.
So, Andrew, what is
Yes.
your Y2K rating, Spice World?
Oh, top of the list. Would see it again. Yeah.
Excellent. How about you, Timmy?
Oh, I bought it. I bought it. I bought it. I will buy it again. I think I have bought it again once I lent it to somebody because it was so good. Yes.
2-day rental. I, to be honest, like, and we could talk about it more. I know I watched it and I don't think I even thought like, oh, I hated this or I loved it. I just knew that I didn't watch it again after this. I think it would come on maybe on HBO, maybe. I don't know. I think I remember seeing it on TV or E, something like that. And I would watch the clips. And I did buy the album. I had this one album and that was it. Like that was all she wrote back then.
I think that was the best album, by the
Agreed,
in my
same.
opinion.
For myself, I owned it on VHS, very old-fashioned sentence. And it may have been a fever dream I had, but I feel like I had the poster because I used to get the movie poster sometimes from a friend who worked at the theater. I'm pretty sure I had the movie poster in my room as well.
I'm sorry, guys, that I ruined it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't buy it.
You have to be true to yourself.
Look,
We
don't
all
come.
liked it for very different reasons.
Yes. And you know what was weird? Like, when I think about the like fever at the time with like boy bands, and there were a bunch of girl groups too. I loved all the Spice Girls songs, but I also felt like maybe because we were a little bit older, I remember like some of the younger people just obsessing, but also it was such a short time frame. Like, it's a blink of an eye. I do appreciate that they brought the platform shoes, really pushed that in because I love me some platform shoes.
It was definitely an era for sure.
It
It
was.
was.
And I think when they came out, I was at camp and we all played like Spice Girls, right? And I think so many women experienced this when they were younger at that time. And it used to
And
piss
some
me
boys.
off. And some boys, yes, sorry. But it used to piss me off that I could not like any of the other personalities. So many people would say I'd have to be Scary Spice. And I loved Mel B. She had like, I think I liked her wardrobe the most, but I loved dresses and wanted to be Baby Spice. And I could not be Baby Spice because I was always pushed to be Scary Spice. I did
I
not
would let you
acceptable.
be Baby Spice if you
I know
wanted.
you would. Who would you be?
Oh, I was scary, and I'm looking for it right now because I have a photo of me dressed as Scary Spice on my phone somewhere. So hold, please. I can see if I can find it.
Is
Did
this the
Andrew,
episode where they got canceled? I don't know. We'll find out.
Andrew, Timmy, did you guys have a favorite?
Ginger.
Absolutely. You were Ginger, Andrew?
Andrew's yours is Ginger.
Oh, it's Ginger, yeah.
Yeah.
Ginger and MLB. It was between those two.
And Timmy?
Mine was absolutely posh, no doubt. I just resonate with her. I always have. Even though today, I don't, do you all post videos of these chats?
Yes.
You do? Okay, let check out the link in bio. I'm currently dressed as a posh slash scary spice. Got my cheetah print. I love it.
No, I think that was what was so great about them. Like in boy bands, we know that there's archetypes of the different types of boy bands members, like the shy one, the one who's too old to be in this group, the one who's way younger than everyone else, you know, that kind of stuff. But I don't think we really saw those kind of archetypes in girl bands as much or girl groups. And they all just had such unique styles and characteristics, and they really did play into it. And I don't think it was too far from their real personality either. They just felt authentic and accessible. Like a lot of the other groups at that time, I didn't feel like I could be friends and hang out with them, if that makes.
Yes.
And I feel like even to this day, they still give that vibe that you could just be friends. They're like cool people to just have a beer with, you know? I love that about them.
Definitely.
Totally.
All right, let's get into the box office. So this movie had a budget of $25 million. Now, there's some varying facts and figures that I got for what the worldwide box office was. Some say 56 million, some say over 100 million when you start to include the VHS sales. And I feel like that's probably more accurate. But it still did pretty well considering. And how the movie came about was as the popularity of their group grew, the Walt Disney Company actually approached them to make a movie, and the band turned it down because they did not like the Disney-fied script. So I guess the original script was about a young single mother of one of the girls fighting hardship to form the band. But Kim Fuller, who is actually the sister of Simon Fuller, who was the band's manager, decided to write the screenplay for the Spice Girls movie herself. I meant to go dig deep to see if she's written anything else because leave it there. I'm gonna leave. So yeah, that's how the movie even came about. So the Spice Girls, I think, came up with their original concept along with Kim Fuller, and then she wrote it. And I think they wrote it pretty quickly too. It was originally released on VHS in May of 98. And so what ended up happening is not just with the VHS, but the actual release, the production company or the company that was releasing it didn't have enough money to release it. They wanted to release it in the UK at the same time with America, but they didn't have the funding. So they had to release it in the UK first, and then they did the US, which actually I think became an issue because
It struggled in the box office because it came out in December 97 and Titanic kind of quickly took over the box office. I did read that.
yeah.
Why are you
Sorry,
always
Timmy.
shitting on Titanic, Jackie?
I am just reading the facts as they are stated, Timmy. Oh, you know what?
Everything is
Ruins
blamed on
everything.
Titanic.
Yes, Jackie, you're right. It did have a up. An uphill battle with fighting with the Titanic. But it was actually when it was released for VHS that it caused a problem. They released it in May of 98 for the UK, Germany, Spain, N Netherlands, Japan, and Australia, and then had to release in June of 98 on VHS for US and Canada. And I think that was the issue too. They split it up because it came out in theaters later. So they had to split
June
it.
of 98. That's pretty fast for a VHS back then, it sounds
Yeah,
like
but they
5 months.
were. Yeah,
That
you're
checks
right. That
out
is,
though.
yeah.
Remember, Titanic was like number one in the box
Yeah,
office for
for like
like
ever.
6 months or something,
Yeah.
8 months. Crazy.
So they were afraid to release the VHS because it was close. They were concerned that the high profile departure of Jerry from the Spice Girls was actually going to affect sales and global demand. I don't see why they would be afraid of that. I would think more people would want to buy the VHS because they know Jerry left and it's like the last thing that they did together.
Yeah. You
No
think it's
publicity is bad publicity.
none whatsoever.
I think she was very popular though, for whatever reason at the time. I think remembering she was like kind of huge in that group.
Yeah. She was the de facto leader or made
Yeah.
herself that. And I think Mel C in her memoir talks about the fact that I think they've all actually talked about it in their that Ginger was not as good as a dancer. They were all like, classically trained, so to speak, or dance backgrounds, and Ginger was not. And some of their moves were very basic, and you can see go back even to the Wannabe video. She's struggling with the dancing, so that's why she kind of was like, you know what, I'll be the so-called manager of the band, and she was very vocal, so. Also caused fights and issues, but yeah. But the VHS was very, it did very well on the video charts. It was for like 6 consecutive weeks, was certified 11 times platinum, and became the 9 best-selling video of 1998. And it peaked at number one on the video charts for 5 consecutive weeks in the US and was the 5th best-selling video of 98. And if you think about that time, there's a lot of competition back then.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, yeah, it was killing it. But I do want to read this thing because our boy Roger Ebert, he shitted on it pretty bad, but I.
Little Raj doesn't come to play.
No.
Not a fan of the
Okay.
Spice Girls.
Yeah, he. But you know what? They like everybody kind of shitted on it. But now it's like turned around.
Yeah, it's like Rocky Horror, where like it was so campy and so over the top that it's got like a cult following now.
Roger
Yeah.
Ebert gave it half a star.
Damn.
Yeah.
Little Raj was not playing.
Yeah.
Was he still, or at that time, was it just Raj and not Siskel?
I don't know. I
Not
think, I
sure.
don't know when one of them died, when Siskel
Yeah.
died.
Yeah,
This
I don't
is,
remember
I'm
either.
seeing this on RogerEbert.com, but yeah. They're easier to tell apart than the Ninja Turtles, but that's a small consolation. What can you say about five women whose principal distinguishing characteristic is that they have different names?
Damn,
Yeah.
that's a burn. That's
They're so
a
detached they can't even successfully lip sync their own songs. During a
damn.
rehearsal scene, the director tells them with such truth that we may be hearing a secret message from the screenwriter that was absolutely perfect without being actually any good.
My
Jesus Christ.
God.
This is only about like four paragraphs long, but it is rough.
It's a third degree burn, y'all.
Oh, yeah. So lacking in human characteristics are the girls that when the screenplay falls back on the last resort of the bankrupt filmmaker imagination, a live childbirth scene, they have to import one of their friends to have the baby. She at least had the wit to get pregnant, something beyond the girls since it was involved in a relationship and thus an attention span.
Whoa.
He was having a bad day.
He didn't like it. He didn't like it.
Oh my God. Not only did Kim Fuller, you guys ready for this? Kim
ready.
Fuller, the screenplay, the, okay. Not only did Kim Fuller, the screenwriter of The Spice World, write this movie, she wrote From Justin to Kelly.
Oh, makes sense.
Oh my.
That's all Wait. I needed to know.
Are we sure Kim Fuller is a woman? Because I've seen Kim Fuller as a man.
Really? It said sister.
I don't know. Oh. I see Kim Fuller, feature film credits, right. Spice World. But I don't That's see Justin so Kelly. But yeah, I don't see Justin Kelly.
BuzzFeed information.
Oh, and I see Justin Kelly. You did write Justin Kelly as well. Yes.
Is it a he or a she?
I see he on Wikipedia, but I do see Justin DeKelly. So I believe it's the same person.
Yeah, it's so weird. Okay, let me look. It may be a he. I could have been wrong.
See, if this is BuzzFeed, we got to get rid of them. We can't trust them anymore.
It's not BuzzFeed.
It was IMDb, probably.
Kim Fuller,
dude.
English screenwriter,
brother,
music manager, Simon Fuller, yes.
Well, we stand corrected. Sorry, guys. A man wrote it. I'm makes it so much better. Because it makes no sense. So Kim Fuller, the brother of Simon Fuller.
He him.
He him.
Not only wrote Spice World, but wrote From Justin to Kelly. Like,
oh, there you go.
Someone get this man's pen immediately.
Did he write anything else? Or just these two masterpieces?
He wrote Postman Pat, the movie.
S Club 7 TV show.
There you go. Seeing Double.
That tracks.
High Heels and Low Lives.
Love, love, love. A musical.
There you go. But yes, he wrote a movie, Seeing Double, about S Club clones.
Something called Seeing Double. High Heels and Low Lives.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, okay. Okay, well, he's a man. We've learned new things. He's a man.
Men can be called
Kim. He needs to put his pen down.
Yes.
And nepotism is strong. So there's a lot of people in this movie, guys. And I think for us Americans watching it, it doesn't have the same appeal as probably some of the British people. I know they had to change a few lines in this movie to appeal to us, but
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, the Hootie and the Blowfish line had to be changed. So I think a lot of the people that show up, I think like we recognize them, but we don't have the same, like, it's not the same because Hugh Laurie at that time, we didn't know that bitch. He wasn't in house yet. Yeah.
And Stephen Fry was like his comedic partner that whole time too. He was in it as a judge.
So we're like, I know Roger Moore. That's James Bond.
And he was like the worst one.
It took me until, okay, so the other ones that surprised me were, and I can't remember his name because I just know him as Dame Edna, is the editor, but not as Dame Edna. The name,
Barry Humphries.
Yes. And then the guy that plays Damien, the really creepy, like, getting the inside scoop guy.
Yeah.
Plays, he's Riff Raff in Rocky Horror and wrote Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've only ever seen him as Riff Raff, so I didn't recognize him. But then after, like I read that, I was like, huh,
that is. No Riff idea. Didn't realize.
I didn't realize, like, I watched that whole movie last night and didn't realize it was Riff Raff until the end credits where he's like trying to find his motivation. I was like, why are you in the same credit? And then I rewound, like, went back and I was like, oh, he's been in this movie this whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
The other ones that are.
The other one is what?
The other ones that were the bit, like big for me, Alan Cumming, obviously.
Yes.
He's also going through a bit of a resurgence with Traitors.
Yes.
It's
He is
have you watched that? It's
so
so good.
fabulous on Traitors.
It's
Like,
so
he
good.
gives zero fucks and is as campy and flamboyant as he wants to be, and it is perfection.
Every like yes, agreed. And it's so funny, like I hate his outfits so much that they become beautiful again. Does that make sense? Like they're so heinous that they've gone from awful back to fabulous. And I love him for it. And he's funny. He's a funny dude. But it's so funny how he like camps the fuck out of that show. He's like, ooh, my little, you know, whatever.
And he like draws out and like rolls his R's and stuff. Oh, it's so
It's so
good.
good. That blonde lady who's in their like team, she was in Sliding Doors.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Then who
Deborah,
else?
is that her name?
Meatloaf is their driver.
Meatloaf just ran like there's no fair
Yeah.
whatsoever. I'm like, that's Meatloaf, y'all. So there's two people from Rocky Horror Picture Show in this movie.
Yes.
Isn't it crazy that Alan Cummings is in this movie and then literally plays almost the like, I don't know. I feel like the manager in Spice World is like the precursor to the manager that Alan Cummings plays in Josie and the Pussycats a little bit. Just
Yeah.
like having to wrangle these people. And for the longest time, I associated with the fact that I thought Alan Cumming was the manager in Spice World because of Josie. Like, I just kind of thought he played both roles, but
I did
then,
too. I
yeah.
was like, who is this Clifford and why is he not Alan Cummings?
Oh,
So we
kind of like
can.
how the Clifford character is also like a super villain in a way. Like, I don't know
Yeah.
how to describe it other than that. Like, he's a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's like, yes, the movie's campy. Yes, I have no idea what the plot is, but at the same time, it does give you kind of a glimpse into how much of their life that they can't necessarily control, that they're constantly touring, they're having to deal with someone really not giving a shit about them having a life. It's,
Yeah.
I think it did a really good job of showing that a little bit at least.
And for as campy and as wacky as it is, because I was thinking about, I'm like, how are we even gonna like explain this movie? Because it's just, it is what it is.
I
But
think
I'm
we just
like,
talk about it.
yeah, I think we're just not gonna go in any particular order, but it has such heart. Like, it just, you feel like the girls are always so like positive about everything. And even when like shit's not going their way, they're like, we're gonna figure it out, or like we're gonna do what's best for our friends or our fans and stuff like that. So I just like, as much as it is campy and like, what the fuck am I watching? You're like sitting there like still rooting for the Spice Girls because at the end of the day, like they just care so much.
All I could say is Posh Spice or Victoria Beckham is one of the funniest human beings.
So fucking funny.
Even like if you look at her clips from like on social media and stuff, I still haven't watched the David Beckham's Netflix thing. I think it's
I want
that
to watch that
documentary.
too. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
But I love like how he like makes fun of her, but there's clips about them or whatever. But she like is really funny, and I love how she's so just loyal to the other girls because you know, Mel B and Eddie Murphy had a child together and it was just like messy and all this other stuff. But anytime Victoria gets a chance, she will slander that man's name. She will slander Eddie Murphy's name. She even said she'd cut off his dick if she could. Like, she does not play. And there, I think there was an interview once where it was her and Mel B, and the guy was like giving Mel B a problem. And Victoria was like, do you not realize we're both in the Spice Girls and I will like fuck your shit up? Stop. Like, she is just die hard. They all are for each other, you know, and they're so open about, yeah, she pissed me off or she's annoying, but I still love her. And they're fine with it. I don't know. I love that about them.
I love her so much. Like just watching the movie again and seeing the scenes where they're in like the obstacle course Oh my God. Just she made the movie.
Those heels were crazy.
Amazing. Amazing. Fabulous. No notes. She is
Well,
so good.
and
And like,
she's so unapologetically herself, and the way, like the comedic timing it takes for her to like stop and like shimmy her dress down a little bit because it's riding up as she's walking. I'm like,
That
what
was
is
the
this
most effort she
genius?
made. That was
I thought about making a
the
drinking game
extent
out
of
of
her
her adjusting
exercise.
her dress, but I thought I'd be too
Yes.
drunk by the end. It was just terrible.
When they fall into the water, I don't remember what she said, but she's like, she's the way she says, Maddie, like she's so
This dress is dry
mad.
clean only.
So good. Like, out of all of the things I wrote down that weren't just specifically like keeping track of the movie, I was just like making notes about Posh. Like, she just, and it's so subtle at times, but you're like, how are you this damn good at like your comedic timing and just doing the little winks and nods that like you know the audience is gonna get. So I am a Posh fan for life, a
Me
hundred
too. She's
percent.
so dry,
She
and that's the best
is.
part. And I made a note. I love how Posh like kind of makes herself the butt of jokes too.
Yes.
And like she just the the low energy, the slight irritation at everybody else's antics, but also bemused. Like it kind of it reminds me of me and my husband. Like I just, you know, he does it all. And I'm just constantly sitting there like, God, why is he doing that? I love him. He's great. But like, why has he got to do so much?
I love how Jerry, again, each of them are playing like an exaggerated version of themselves, and I think that's why you don't go in this movie like you know it's campy, you know it's like horrible essentially, but you can't say like, oh, they're bad actresses per se, because it doesn't feel like they're acting. It really does feel like it's just them, but I know that it's an exaggeration of themselves and how much each of them are okay with poking fun at themselves, you
Yes.
know? And Jerry constantly having facts on facts on facts and just like knowing a little bit of everything makes me crack up every
And most
time.
of them are wrong, which is even better.
And
Okay,
they all
y'all,
eye roll at her at the same time whenever she brings up a fact.
yes.
It's like they're just like, oh, this bitch again.
Are you ready? I found my Scary Spice picture. I'm gonna put it as
Oh.
my background. Hold on. Let me
But
get
I
that
like
out
the
of the way.
Mulan nudity scene. Oh,
I know I didn't put the buns in there, but this is definitely my favorite. Okay. There she is.
she is.
I'm wearing silver pleather pants and like a long-sleeved shimmery purple top, and my makeup is very, I'm acting the part too. I'm trying to be scary. I don't, this was my interpretation.
Like Posh. Feel a little like
It
Posh Spice.
gives very emo, Jackie. It
Yeah.
gives
You know.
more Alanis Morissette.
This was also
Oh, man.
before I color matched to my skin tone, so I always just looked really white. It wasn't an emo choice, it was just I didn't know about makeup choice.
Did anybody else recognize that their pregnant friend that that was the worst pregnant belly I've ever seen? Like you could literally see they like pan in and you could see the lumps. Like it was like a
That's the
pillow.
baby, Danielle.
It
Move it around.
is
Oh.
like the baby
Horrific.
belly from 10 Things I Hate About You. Just
It was worse than that. It was pillows, because I think even in this the scene where they like think about them being older and being mothers, there's like one of them has, oh, it's Mel C, Sporty Spice, has a pillow, because it's not even like a fat suit. It literally looks like the pillow. They're like, let's use the same pillow and make her look like she's fat now, yet still exercising.
Yeah.
Question mark.
And this is a quick shoot. They didn't have a lot of time to think these things out.
That's true.
This is their Lemonade. This is their visual album. I'm sick of them calling it a movie. There's no plot. The
No.
only thing is that they gotta get to a show and their friend is pregnant. That's it. And
And
there's some kids in there.
there's the subplot of it being a movie in a movie.
Yeah, that too.
There were so many subplots. I'm like, where are we? And then at the end, I was like, so were we in the movie the whole time that they were pitching? Like, I was so confused. And I'm like, okay, so they're all super uber famous, but they haven't done a tour yet. They're going on their first tour. Then it's like the editor of like the equivalent of the Sun wants scoop on them, but they want like negative light, nothing positive about the Spice Girls. And then you have George Wentz like pitching a movie the whole time. And then
you have
them just living on a bus,
which is the TARDIS.
It is the TARDIS.
Right? It's all the same thing. It's bigger on the
like,
inside.
Yeah, it's huge on the inside. I'm like, what's going on?
I also there's an alien subplot.
Yes.
And it's also dirty a little bit. How did this, first of all, with the scene behind Jackie and the aliens going to touch scary Mel B's boob, how did this get a PG rating?
Yeah.
You can touch one boob in a movie.
You can touch one boob.
That's it.
If you touch both, it would have really bumped it up. I will say that in England and Europe, I've been to England many times. My mom's best friend worked for the BBC for many years, so I got to visit like their TV stations and stuff. It is a much more relaxed atmosphere regarding sexuality, nudity, language.
You know what I was a little disappointed about? And I don't know if it was because there's five Spice Girls and then there's the other lady. They're like, I don't know Deborah. What her role, Deborah. But I felt like it would have been there could have been more female cameos. It felt very like male
driven. But it makes sense, Kim. Now that we know that Kim
is a man.
Thanks, Kim. You really thought this out. That's a really good commentary. I didn't even think about that, but you're quite right.
He was looking at it from a lens of like, who were my favorite people that I want cameos from? Like, oh, this is a girl, like a women's movie for mostly women, maybe cater to them.
But I feel like also they could have gone younger. All the people that were in here were, they're UK legends, but they're old as fuck. Even for that time period, like, can we get Robbie Williams? I mean, he did say that he slept with 4 out of 5 Spice Girls, even though he had to back that up and say he apologized. He only slept with 2, which I was shocked. I didn't know that he dated Mel C for a minute. And then I think more recently with his Netflix documentary, we found out like how serious his relationship with Jerry was.
Mm-hmm.
But for all of you guys who don't know who the hell Robbie Williams is, he's like, I don't even want to say Justin Timberlake, but I guess the equivalent of just like how famous he was in England when he was in Take That. Yeah. And because we have to thank Robbie Williams and Take That, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have NSYNC. So just say, yeah. Robbie Williams.
Trying to see if there's... I do love the line where they're like poking fun at Posh and they're like, oh, she's trying to figure out if she's going to wear the little Gucci black dress, the little Gucci black dress, or the little
Gucci black dress.
And then Emma from the corner, I think you should wear the little black Gucci dress.
So... I think when we were younger, I just thought Emma, the whole thing about Emma was just really cute. But now that I think about it, I'm like, it's real. It is real creepy as fuck.
She was appealing to Japanese fans.
It's not even just Japanese.
She had a lollipop in her mouth in almost every single scene.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hang on. Hit pause. So, and I mean that on the recording. So... do you all remember the Spice Girls lollipops?
Yes.
No.
No.
Oh, they were in a little machine and they spun on their own, right?
No. Not those. So I think, what was that? It was like Chupa Chup or something,
whatever the brand was
at the time. And so they were the little like regular classic, you know, round with the little thing around it, like a Saturn. But it was red on the bottom, and clear white for the top half.
Ooh.
And you could see a little picture of a Spice Girl through the top. It was printed on it. And they were the most delicious strawberry flavor. It was probably just sugar, just like straight up sugar, but it was delicious. They were
That.
also fucking impossible to find. Like, I had my grandmother. I was like, listen, Helen, Grandmom, you have a mission. I need you to go to every store in the vicinity and round up as many of those as you can get. She also, by the way, did the same thing for the Beanie Babies when they were at McDonald's.
Andrew just sent us a picture and they look amazing. I don't know how I missed
Yeah.
that. They were
24
fabulous.
stickers to collect.
But I think one of the things that was amazing about the Spice Girls, yes, they were only around for a short period of time, but the team behind them was really smart about merchandising.
Yes.
They became the richest group of all time be at the I think they're still pretty high up there. I don't know what the stats are. But I think before them, New Kids on the Block had the market covered, cornered, and I don't even think any like Backstreet Boys. I think Backstreet Boys made the most money from their albums and stuff like that from sales, but I think from merchandising, Spice Girls killed the game. They were on everything. I admire the will to make money. And Mel C said in her memoir, a lot of it had to do with Ginger, like she was a pain in the ass, but like because she was pushing so much for so much stuff, it's what got them to where they need to be. Not that it was just Ginger, but like it was a very big contributing factor to it
And it
all.
says they sold 105 million records worldwide. So they're the best-selling girl group of all time.
Yeah. Not surprised. Three albums. Only three albums.
Only three albums. It's crazy.
That's so really? The third album is just the four of them, and that's the last one.
I
I
thought there was
think
another one.
so.
I thought there was a
Maybe.
fourth, but maybe not.
Maybe,
I guess
maybe.
not.
Let
There
me
may have been
check.
a more recent one, but.
It makes more sense that Kim is a woman or is a man now because there is a scene where men are fighting over which Spice Girl is their favorite and not like in a like innocent way. And I was like, oh, that doesn't feel great.
Okay, so they have Spice, that's the first album. The second album, Spice World, third album, Forever, and they did a greatest hits, but I don't think I see anything else.
What was Holler on? Was that on Forever?
I think so.
Okay.
With is that Dark Child who made that one?
Yeah.
I love that song. I was like, yo, what's going on? Why are we breaking up? This is hot. Love it. But they
So,
didn't listen to me.
in the movie, like in between like these ridiculous scenes and like nonsensical plot or lack thereof, we also get them singing. And so the first scene where we see them singing, they're in like a rehearsal space. And even today, I'm like, I love that Mel B is wearing an astronaut suit, but also why?
I missed that part. I must have.
He's
I
got a
don't
NASA
know.
coat on. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's like that big bubble jacket. She
Yeah,
didn't
it's like
have
a
like
puffer
this.
coat.
Yeah. Oh, she does take it off after
She
she
does.
gets,
Well,
yeah,
because it's
but
fucking hot in there, probably.
it was like, but you know the funny thing is I didn't think it was
Bitch,
weird.
I
I
know
just thought it was so, I thought it was cool. I was like, I love, she looks awesome in that.
She
And
does.
I love that. I love how she really look as an African American woman. We are all in our natural phases right now. Like we are embracing our natural hair. And at the time, and I know especially for a lot of like mixed girls, and in the 90s, a lot of us had to like straighten our hair. Like that was the thing for most of us. So when she came out and she was just like letting her hair just be free with her natural curls, and she did really cute things. She did Bantu knots, like not a lot of you didn't see a lot of visuals of that in the mainstream where it was just like totally okay. And I think she made it okay for a lot of black women to wear their natural kinky hair. And commend it. Like rewatching this movie, I'm like, damn, I didn't realize. And she was just doing really fun things with her hair. I think one of those outfits you see, like the two like cones in the front, she said she used like cups and wrapped her hair with ribbon. And a lot of the things that they did, they were just like makeshift stuff they were doing themselves. They were just very ahead of the game when it came to fashion on their own. I really admire that.
That's my favorite hairstyle of any of them, by the way. The one with the, is it, are they called space buns? Is that right?
The little ones
The
that
two
she
on the
did.
front.
Oh, I don't know what, because space buns are usually like here, but I mean, I
Oh,
guess you
okay.
could call it, I don't know what she didn't even have a name for it. She
It was
just
my
said,
favorite. Like, it was just so cute.
She did a great job with that. She did. Oh, so it only took a year from the idea to the finish of this film.
Wow.
So when we were saying it was quick.
That's
I think it
insane.
was like 30 days to shoot. Like, I think they shot the whole thing in like a month. I remember
That's
hearing that a
crazy.
long time ago, that it was like
It
a
was
very
real
fast
time,
shoot.
Andrew. It was real
Yeah,
time.
basically, yeah.
You know, shot over the weekend. They had the film crew follow them on their daily activities.
And what's crazy is that they were recording their album at the same time as they were making this film. And so some of the songs weren't finished yet, so they would have to like either go back and put it in or like do it in real time. Like that I think is insane. That's a lot of stress. But also, this is a visual album before
It is.
Lemonade. It really was, because they didn't make a soundtrack for this movie. It literally was just their Spice World CD. I think there's only one song, maybe. I think there's one song that wasn't on that or something, or wasn't in the movie or something like that.
What is your favorite performance of a song in this movie, and why is it Come On?
It is. Like, honestly, when I
That
was in
feels like your biggest
college,
one.
I used to listen to this song, and it wasn't until I realized who Gary Glitter was and what he did that I felt absolutely horrified that I had been obsessed with this fucking song. And he was
But I
supposed to.
mean, this performance, top notch.
It
And
is.
those dancers had a name. Let me find what they called them.
When they
Wendy
came
Wendy.
out, what did you say, Andrew?
I was just gonna say, when you dance in Milan, half naked sailor men dance behind you.
I'm not mad at it.
No. I was just like, PG, okay.
Well,
Sure.
when the title, like, you know how the little green screen with the like rating comes up and it tells you kind of like why it was rated that way, and it's like brief nudity. I'm like, there's no nudity in Spice World. I'm like,
No.
oh, the
Yes.
buns.
That's the first. Yes, absolutely. That's so funny because I remember seeing it and be like, nudity? Where's their nudity?
One man in assless chaps, no nudity. Ten men in assless chaps, nudity.
Yes. It said glam rock musician Gary Glitter filmed a 4-minute cameo appearance as himself, but shortly before release, he was arrested on child pornography offenses. The Spice Girls and the production team agreed that his cameo should be deleted from the final print, although the band does perform his song, I'm the Leader of the Gang, I Am. So Glitter's scene has been leaked online. I don't care to see it. Fuck Gary Glitter, but love that
Oof.
fucking song.
It's such a good
It
song.
is. It's such a pump song, because like it's like, come on, come on. Like it then it just starts, and you're like, yes,
ramps up.
I am the leader
The 1990s, my very favorite decade, especially for music. This is Dope Nostalgia, and I'm your host, Naomi Carmack, and every week we revisit the era that brought us Hammer Pants, Crystal Pepsi, Pogs, Hypercolor, Pokemon, and some of the greatest songs of all time. On Dope Nostalgia, not only do I have episodes where I talk about the big artists of the 90s with friends, but sometimes those big artists come on the show. Past guests include Naughty by Nature, George Lamont, Alana Miles, Color Me Bad, Biff Naked, Ed the Sock, Shakespeare's Sister, Two Unlimited, The Funky Bunch, Technotronic, Rosala, Tara Kemp, Mr. Big, Honeymoon Suite, Right Said Fred, and so many more. You can always leave us a voicemail and tell us what you think, and we'll play it on the show. 780-851-8785. Dope Nostalgia, a podcast made for 90s kids like me. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Podbean, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are served.
It's funny that Jerry just apologized recently, more recently, for leaving the band. I still don't. Does anyone understand why she left? Because I'm still confused.
She'd be big, I guess. You know, why does anybody leave?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I'm so confused.
Well, it says in her Wikipedia she was citing exhaustion and creative differences.
I mean, consistently, I mean, the two people who have been kind of in and out, it has just been Victoria and Jerry. Yeah. The rest of them have been really consistent.
Figure, the two that are the richest. Right. Come and go as they please.
Yeah.
There should be a little tiny little tick for when Victoria came back for the Olympics, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I like almost cried when that happened. I was, very excited.
So good. I love their little, the buses driving around. And they were riding, the like surfing the buses.
It was a great performance. And I mean, honestly, I know nobody performed for Prince Charles, really. But if I was hoping for anything, I was like, oh, maybe the Spice Girls will come for, but like everyone said no. But the amount of times that these women got to hang out or like had pictures with the royal family and just like did zero of the things you're supposed to do when you're with the royal family is insane. Also, what lives in my brain rent free is the fact that there's a picture of the Spice Girls with Nelson Mandela and Prince Charles, or King Charles now. I look at the picture and it looks like it's photoshopped in my head. Like, this can't be real. And the fact that Nelson Mandela said it was one of the best moments of his life. Sir, what now? His life. And that man has lived a life.
But he ended apartheid and then he met the Spice Girls. It was very big moments.
That is insane. That is insane.
Came back from the dead because everybody thought he was dead because of the Mandela effect. Oh, like, Spice Girls, though. That's it.
But he is dead.
Well, now.
Oh, you mean that?
He wasn't then.
Not the first time. Not the first time.
Oh my God, Jackie, you know what cameo would have like blew my mind? Was that Jason Isaacs was supposed to have a cameo as a pretentious author and it was cut. And so many of these men that were asked to be in these cameos were like, I don't know who they are, or I don't really care. My kids made me do it. I had to do it for my kids. Or I had to get signatures. Y'all are fucking lying. You telling me they don't see these hot chicks and are like, yeah, I want to be in this movie, but I'm going to say it's for my kids.
Well, and it would have been a Harry Potter reunion because Gary Oldman also wanted to be in the movie. And due to scheduling, he couldn't do it.
Gary Oldman cracks me the fuck up because he has gone on record so many times talking about the movies that he's like, I don't want to be in there, but I had to be in it. Like, I think, what did he
Fifth
say?
Fifth Element.
Fifth Element. He was like, I don't want to be it. But he was trying to get into Spice World. That's why I love that movie.
Also, Elvis Costello and Elton John. Forgot those two.
Yes. And
Elton West was in it too.
Towards the end of the movie, we get it's right before the alien scene. All the toilets break on the bus at the same time. And so we get that throwaway line from Mr. Meat where they're like, why don't you just fix the toilets? Clifford is the one that says that. And he's like, I love those girls and I'll do anything for them, but I won't do that. And it just took me back to a time where I had that single on cassette and I played the shit out of that song. It is a masterpiece.
Let me tell you, you know how much I love Glee. Anytime Glee did a Meatloaf song, a bitch was losing it. Every time.
I thought you were going to be judgy about that with me, but oh, no. You're right there with me. Okay, good.
I love Meatloaf. He is such an unsung hero. Yeah. I don't think he gets enough love.
I mean, Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Let me tell you, they sang it at Nationals on Glee.
That song is perfection.
Again, I still think it's crazy how much, because I remember when I was younger, how obsessed I was with Prince William. And I knew that he loved Baby Spice a lot, like obsessed. And so I just think it's hilarious that Prince Charles, Prince William, and Prince Harry all went to the Spice World premiere. And I just try to envision them watching this movie and what they thought. Like, could you imagine going to the premiere of this movie? You just sit through the whole thing and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, the boys probably liked it, I would assume.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's royalty visiting royalty. You know, they're British royalty at this point. They may be Spice Girls longer than, you know, the king is king at this point. We'll see.
So true. But also, they did mention Princess Diana and Versace in this movie, but they had to edit them out post-production because of their deaths shortly before the release of the movie, which, like, that was such a sad time. Because I remember Versace died, and I know Princess Diana was sad about it because they were very close. And
she attended the funeral, and like she was very, very hurt by it.
Yeah.
And that was very shortly before her passing.
Apparently, Kim, you know, notorious KIM, he had to revise the script many times to accommodate the growing number of celebrities hoping to take part in the film. I want to see this script because I think the whole thing was ad-libbed at this point.
Yeah.
Like, what was written? Unreal.
I would not be shocked at all if they just had like outlines of scenes that like, okay, we're going to shoot this, because I felt like they were going in the direction or the vein of like Hard Day's Night, things like that, where it's just super campy, really not a linear plot or anything like that. Some people hold Spice World in high regard and others are like, what the hell is this? But either way you go, I think it was just a play on, like Danielle said, like a visual album.
Well, I think one, every band who's having like the level of a Spice Girl should have done a movie. Like, I really hate that NSYNC and Backstreet Boys didn't do some sort of movie. I know NSYNC, they did that long shot thing a little bit. They made some cameos. But I think every band should either do a documentary style movie or something campy like this, because it's just such a wonderful time capsule. I know it's silly, but years later you can look back at it and just be like, that was amazing, you know? Yeah, I would have loved that. But I also think it's funny that there are some people like Billie Eilish who didn't know that the Spice Girls were a real band. She thought they were like a fake band, like Spinal Tap had a fake band. Like, she thought it was a band for the movie, kind of. Because remember how much younger she is than us. So that's crazy.
I'm sad. And I'm also possibly realizing that Spinal Tap is fake. Things have happened to me at the same time.
I also love that Emma Stone loved the Spice Girls so much and loved Baby Spice, was her favorite. Her real name is Emily, and so she's like, I just wanted to be called Emma. I would go to school and ask to be called Emma, and look at me now.
So I watched that interview. I love that interview so much. Has anybody else seen it?
Yeah, well, I mean,
is it the Vanity Fair?
No, it's with Jimmy Fallon.
It was Jimmy Fallon, and Jimmy Fallon goes and he's like, so you're a huge Spice Girls fan. And she kind of tells this story, and he goes, so you know, Emma, it's extremely rare to have all five Spice Girls together at one time. And she's like, Jimmy, no. Jimmy, no. No. And he's like, well, they're not. It was so good.
Upsetting both ways for her.
I feel like if you have met all five Spice Girls, it's like getting all the rings.
Yes.
from the rings that Thanos was trying to collect, essentially.
The Infinity Stones.
Yeah. I nearly went to one of their concerts, actually. Really? Funny enough. 2007, 2008, when they were reunited, they did a concert in DC, and it was right around the time I started dating my wife, and she was going to take me to it in Washington, D.C. And I was like,
Why should I go see?
Because I just told myself, I was like, surely this is foolish. I'm a man in my 20s. I don't need to go see the Spice Girls. Regrets.
Girly pop.
Should have gone.
I was so desperate for one of those fucking tickets when they were, I think it was like, it was truly in 1997-ish. When they had their first tour, and my little bitch friend, her parents got them for her birthday. And I was like, who are you taking? Who are you taking? Because you know who's also a huge Spice Girls fan. And it's not your brother.
Oh my gosh. I do feel like I have way more appreciation for them now than I did back then. I really do. Which, so sad. I wish I could go back. I would be collecting all this shit and just hoarding it so I could sell it on eBay and make a shit ton of money. So any standout scenes from the movie for you guys? Like favorite scene, favorite song? I know we've already said that.
Know my opinion.
Yes.
So I loved how the movie opened to like the melodious notes of Too Much. Yes. It was like just that beautiful. It did really good with that.
It felt like a James Bond movie, kind of.
Yes. There was a lot of nods to James. I was going to say James Brown to James Bond.
I also loved the scene where they were the parents. It fast forwarded them to all being moms.
Yeah.
And like kind of trashy moms. It was so fun. Just so campy, but.
I love that like despite their fame, them thinking of the future, they're not in some huge mansion. They're in like all stuffed into that one room, and I'm like, girls keeping it.
And it's like smoky in there, and you might see like an empty bottle here and there.
I still think my favorite scene is why like they randomly just jump off the bus and get on a boat. And then they're singing
My Boy Lollipop.
Such a random ass thing to be singing. Yeah. And then the boat falls over, and it reminded me of Wet Hot American Summer, where they kept losing kids in different scenarios. Yes. And they're like, they're gone now. That made me laugh a lot. And I do love Spice Up Your Life at the end.
Yeah, that's good.
The only scene I looked at, I was like, oh, this is a fun scene, but also ridiculous, is when they went to the club. And I'm like, yeah, take your 9 months pregnant friend to the club.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, I got a plan. Absolutely. How could this end poorly?
Why not?
You're right.
My notes for this movie are pure chaos. So, like, they were making, the Clifford guy was making essays over the loudspeaker in the bus. Right. And Juan, Jack, you'll appreciate this because we're both skincare fiends, was moisturizing cream stored in the refrigerator. Should not be stored in the refrigerator as it can be mistaken for mayonnaise. Another one, or two more, old cell phones, weird guy's sunglasses. Anybody notices those horrible 90s, like, frog sunglasses.
Yes.
You know what? A scene that I also love. I thought it was so much fun when they dressed up as each other and then they were like taking on each other's personalities, and they did like other montages and stuff like in Grease or nods to Marilyn Monroe and stuff like that. But yeah, did anyone else notice that Mel B, the character she ended up having to play, was like, she was a Rastafarian. And you could tell she's like fed up at one point. She's like, fuck it. And she had to take the fake dreads off.
Yeah.
Then at one point in one of those scenes, she's in like African garb for some reason.
I missed that.
And so like there was a few of those. I was like, I wonder, did
thanks,
she right? She choose this? Or was this put upon her, you know? It was a little weird.
Did anybody else notice who the, I mean, there were so many like villains in this movie that I don't know how to even like narrow it down for you and explain which one it was. But there was the one guy that they were like focusing in on the spit flying out of his mouth with he was like the evil man in an office.
Oh, the newspaper guy.
Newspaper Guy, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you know who that was a nod to?
Who?
Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's dad. McMasterson or McMaxwell or whatever his name was. So he was a nod to Ghislaine Maxwell's father, who was a disgraced newspaper baron at the time in England.
Interesting. Wasn't there a movie about him recently?
All about her. I don't know about him, but they definitely mentioned him a lot when they're talking about her because she's kind of like definitely eclipsed baby. His. Okay. Yeah.
Was he?
She I feel like he might have been in Tetris. Thing, right?
I feel like he might have been the guy in Tetris.
Oh.
There was a Tetris movie that came out last year, but it was about there was a British newspaper guy who, like, I guess was like stealing from their pension and all kinds of stuff to that do it, and then. They talked about it, and that's what I thought. He reminded me of that guy too, because he plays in exactly like that in that movie. He's just big and overbearing, and
And the, that's all right. The story is kind of, I mean, I don't know, it's tragic, but like, how tragic is it if you look at it? So, that he was actually murdered, allegedly. Like, he was found drowned outside of his mega yacht somewhere when he was trying to evade the authorities, basically.
Yeah. Robert Maxwell, he's in Tetris. They have somebody playing him. I felt like it too, and I couldn't remember who the guy's name was.
Damn.
So I had two random thoughts. The dance instructor, Mr. Stepp, was giving Sparky Pulaski vibes.
Yeah.
And from then, Bring It On. Yes. And then the quotes that Roger Moore's character, the chief, had were so fucking wackadoodle, but at the side, like, he would say it and you're like, that kind of makes sense. Like, even though it did not. I pulled up a couple. The headless chicken can only know where he's been. He can't see where he's going.
Maybe the most sensible one, he says.
When the rabbit of chaos is pursued by the ferret of disorder through the fields of anarchy, it is time to hang up your pants on the hook of darkness. Whether they're clean or not.
What? But it's funny because when he agreed to make the cameo, and then he had someone like feeding him his lines and he didn't know what the fuck was going on. He didn't know who the Spice Girls were really. And he's just like, all right, I'll cameo.
Oh,
that's why he's one of the worst bonds.
At the end, he's holding a baby pig. And just bottle feeding the baby pig.
I remember. And I think there's a part where the pig got really, like, anxious, like, wanting to get the milk.
Yeah.
And you could see him almost, like, flinch a little bit because it, like, surprised him. I said, what the fuck is going on?
I love the alien scene. Honestly, I love everything about the alien scene, especially the really cheap green coats.
Also, when Emma calls the baby a beetroot after it comes out, like, I was just like, what?
When they show a scene of the friend holding her baby after it's born, it's such a weird, like, I don't even know if it was a real baby or not. I have to go back. But the way she's holding it, it's not in her arms, but it's like, just like a little glow worm between her legs or something. It's super weird. It's like, what is happening? This pregnancy is a farce at this point. I believe nothing about it. I'm glad they didn't try to have her give birth while they were delivering, because clearly it was a mess.
Yeah. At the end, during the credits, when Alan Cummings goes on and on about his chest wig, like, why are we still talking about this, Alan?
He was interviewed on Graham Norton's show, and he was talking about how all the Spice Girls signed his chest with, like, a marker. And, like, he said that he was on the floor, and they all, like, straddled him and were just, like, signing or whatever. And so then, I don't know where he was, but it must have been like some sort of, I think he went to the pool or something, and then he went to go shower, but he was like in the corner, like trying to scrub it off. And he's like, I know people were looking at me like, what the fuck is he doing? But he said they were the nicest girls ever. He had so much fun, like, being on that set with them.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, cute. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, really attractive.
He's one of those people that it took me a while to like him again, because he was in that movie Circle of Friends. and he was absolutely disgusting in that movie.
That's how I feel about Benedict Cumberbatch after Atonement.
Oh, yeah.
It's Kevin Bacon in Sleepers for me.
Oh, God, yes.
I just the same way about Uma Thurman and Batman and Robin. Different reasons, but I couldn't stand her till Kill Bill after that. I was like, okay, this is awful.
That's hilarious. Really?
It really turned me off. I was like, nope, never want to see this woman in anything again.
Hey, I'm with you, Andrew. I didn't like that either. I keep seeing clips of her as Poison Ivy. I'm like, oh,
To Kill Bill, to turn it all around.
I can't wait to rewatch it.
Much better in Kill Bill either.
Well, guys, I think we covered Spice World.
I think so too.
In a roundabout way, sure.
We came, we saw, we kind of conquered.
They spiced up our life.
Yeah. Like, we really get none of it makes sense. I think all the scenes were just excuses to wear different outfits. That's it. And then we see them perform the entire album of Spice World. This was a visual, this wasn't a movie, this was a visual album. That's what I'm going to say at this point. And if
I
you
don't disagree,
good. But if you do disagree, just hit us up at No More Late Fees on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, and Threads. And we're going to get to these present day ratings. I'm going to start with you, Timmy. How does today Timmy feel about Spice World, the visual album?
So there's no denying that that's a song reference for you, that I would buy it again. I would. It's just such a good movie. I do already own it, and I will keep it that way. I love it.
Andrew?
I think I would change it to 5-day rental. Mm-hmm. Still pretty good. Still enjoyed it. Was honestly surprised that it felt pretty well acted. But like you said, maybe they weren't acting. They were just playing themselves. So I feel like it holds up, especially if you like their songs. So 5-day rental, still pretty good.
I think reframing this from a movie to a visual album, I'm going to say 5-day rental, because when I rewatched it, I found myself smiling and laughing and just bopping. And I just had a really good time because it was just a visual album. That's it. With just some weird antics in between. And it is very interesting to me that Kim Fuller helped write S Club 7, because it did feel like a very long S Club 7 episode. So, yeah. And I used to love that show for some reason. So, there you go. 5-day rental. It went up for me. Nostalgia. Jackie?
So, knowing that we were doing this movie, and knowing that it is not streaming anywhere and very unobtainium at the moment, we go to a lot of thrift shops and Goodwills. My hunt for a Spice World DVD was real. I was trying to Google what the spine looked like so I could like look for it on the shelf. Like, for months, I was like, I need to find Spice World on DVD. And I will continue that hunt, because it just feels like something I need to like have a copy of. So I would say would buy again, because I haven't bought it again yet, but I am actively searching for it.
Dedication. I did see someone on TikTok say that it might be on the internet archive. So I'm going to look and see if it is. I think it is. I think you can go to the internet archive and watch it. So if you're looking for a place, that is, let me see, I'm just going to hit play and see if it works. It's still, that's the word. I was going to
say. In the 90s, we had a whole another channel called Spice, and you don't want to stumble on that.
Yeah, so you can go to the internet archive and find Spice World and play it, because I just did.
Excellent. Good to know. Well, if you have any comments about Spice World, share your favorite song or scene or memory of Spice World with us at our quick drop 909-601-NMLF, 909-601-6653. Twat us at the Twitters, hem us at the Threads, and you could be featured on a future episode.
And thank you to Andrew and Timmy for joining us. I hope you guys had fun. I know we've been talking about doing Spice World for a while, so super excited you guys can join us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And as always, be kind and rewind.
I think we should all do a Spice Girls pose.
I was thinking that too. Bye.
Go, Paula.